Hey guys, welcome to Believe in Eagles. I'm your host, Lee Mayock. That is my dad, Mike Mayock, and the Philadelphia Eagles are the world champions! The Believe in Eagles is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting in 2025. Whether you're a seasoned fan or a first-time bettor, BetOnline is your ultimate game day companion. I hope you guys bet on yellow Gatorade to be poured on the winning coach. That was Nick Sirianni. I chose yellow Gatorade. It was yellow Gatorade. And that is the most important bet of the day. So let's get into it. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. Can't even believe it. What do you think, Dad?
I mean, you're in Philly right now because you were obviously in New Orleans all week. Mm-hmm. You're back in your apartment, which is downtown Center City. Do you see kind of and I'm down south in Georgia. So I'm just kind of wondering what it looks like there. How much energy and excitement are you feeling in the city?
I mean, it's pretty crazy. We're getting a snowstorm too, which is why the parade isn't until Friday. But it's also nice because Friday's the weekend, so the parade can like kind of go even harder. But I got back from the Super Bowl. I didn't work Super Bowl game day. I got back. I left Sunday morning so that I would be back home in my own environment. Being able to watch the Eagles in the Super Bowl, like with some wings by myself after the longest week ever. And after the Eagles won, you would have thought I had all my windows open. It was so loud. Helicopters everywhere, people everywhere, fireworks going off where fireworks should not be going off. Everyone was just so freaking excited, and it was crazy.
And I'll bet the New Orleans airport was close to empty when you took off, which...
Actually, no, it was weird. I guess because I left so early, people were still coming in to watch the game, to come in for the game. So the New Orleans airport was actually crazy, but it was a flood of green. And I also have to say that New Orleans all week was a flood of green. Yeah. Like it felt like an absolute home game. Anytime I was wearing any type of green, I was getting like 7 go birds on a 5-minute walk down the street. Like it was crazy.
Yeah, because it's funny because I was watching the tape this morning and a couple of times Travis Kelce was late in pass protection because they had to go silent count and he was looking in at the center. And I was just figuring, I guess, talking to some people there like you, they said sounded like it was anywhere from, what do you think, 60 to 70% Eagles?
Easily 70, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was wild. Yeah.
It really felt like Eagle fans travel. They freaking travel, man.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. And I don't know. I knew it was going to be like, I felt like the Eagles were going to win, but I had no idea that the game was going to go like that.
I didn't either. Other than I covered myself a little bit when we talked about how the game would go. And I basically said, if it's a blowout, I think it's the Eagles. But if it's a close game, which I thought it would be, mm-hmm. I thought Kansas City would win a close game, but I certainly didn't expect it to be 24-0 at halftime.
Okay, and so how the heck did they do that?
Well, I think the obvious thing to anybody that watched the game on television was that the Eagles' defensive line, the front four, were friggin' dominant. And then when I put the tape on, because I didn't get it till this morning, when I put the tape in this morning, they were even more dominant than I thought they were. I mean, I've never seen Patrick Mahomes get sped up so quickly, meaning like he knew the rush was coming and his eyes, as soon as the quarterback's eyes come down, like when they're looking down the field and they're comfortable, that's a problem. When their eyes come down, it means they're looking at the rush and trying to find a way to get out. His eyes came down early and they missed some opportunities in the first half for big plays because his eyes came down. And to any great quarterback, any quarterback's eyes are going to come down if you hit him enough. But, I mean, the defensive ends, and I'm talking about Sweat, who had a big game, and I'm talking about Nolan Smith, who came on. And you and I have talked about Nolan Smith a bunch. You know, they didn't even start him at the beginning of the year because they didn't like the way he played the run. Those two defensive end beat the crap out of the tackles of Kansas City. All speed to power, bull rush type moves. And Joe Tooney, who's the left tackle for Kansas City, He's a Pro Bowl left guard, but because of all the injuries and everything, they kicked him out the left tackle the last several games of the year, and the Eagles ate him alive. They just pushed him right back into Patrick Mahomes' lap. So, I mean, the two things that stood out to me for this game were the Eagles' front four was the most dominant I've seen a front four in years, especially against a quality team. And you and I talked all year about what would the Eagles do if a team forced them to play left-handed, you know, if you slow down or stop Saquon Barkley. And the Eagles were fine. You know, Jalen Hurts was efficient, which I think is a fair word. He was what? He was 17 for 22 for 221 yards. Importantly, he ran the ball 11 times for 72 yards. He was a leading rusher. So I think when you look at the overall picture of Jalen Hurts, he's played in two Super Bowls at a high level. So it's hard to really beat him up at all.
Did you see that there was a lady in the fans with a voodoo doll of Patrick Mahomes the whole time?
No.
And I don't mess with that stuff. That you're in New Orleans and you have a voodoo doll, but people were saying they've never seen Patrick Mahomes look like that, kind of like you said. And then there was this lady doing voodoo on him and a voodoo doll in the stands.
You know, it doesn't matter who the – whether it's Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Matt Ryan – it doesn't matter how good a quarterback is. If you pressure him hard enough, consistently enough, all their eyes come down. And I've never seen Patrick Mahomes sped up. You talk about speeding up a quarterback. Like, he gets the ball, and even on their quick game where the ball comes out quickly, he was either just throwing it. I mean, he threw two throws early to Kelsey that you could call either bad throws or drops or a combination of both. But he was just sped up. He was trying to get the ball out because he knew the rush was coming. It wasn't a good placement, and Kelsey didn't make the play. And two of them were on third downs. So what their front did, and there's been a lot of publicity about the fact that they didn't blitz one snap the whole game. I charted the entire first half because, you know, it's 24-0 at half. I charted it, and they either rushed three or four. They rushed a couple linebackers, but – that was dropping defensive ends off. So at most, they rushed four, and just about every throw, he was either getting hit or pressured.
And so what was the rest of the defense doing? Like, what were the matchups that you saw and liked on, like, AJ and Devontae? How did that go? Because it looked like Jalen trusted his receivers this game.
He did, for the most part. And like early in the game, they had a fourth and two, and A.J. Brown ran a fade against press, which is what you and I have talked about. Single high, trust him, mm-hmm. And he threw it to him for a 32-yard gain, but they called it back for an A.J. Brown offensive pass interference. Remember that one?
Yeah.
I don't even care.
Yeah.
It was a bad call. The point is the quarterback made the decision to give him a chance to make a play, and he made the play.
Right? Yeah.
Right? And then they had a second and 11. All-out blitz, and that was the one where your Penn State flash, Jahan Dotson, who we haven't talked about all year, he made a beautiful move at the line of scrimmage. But the same thing, though, against press, mm-hmm. blitz, he gets an outside release against and runs fade, and Jalen drops it right into him down to the one-yard line. That was huge. And then there was another one late in the second quarter I loved. They had a third and seven. A.J. Brown ran the press again but didn't get a clean release. And with a lot of pressure on him, he threw it back shoulder for a 22-yard gain on third and seven. Again, he trusted him mm-hmm. in single coverage. So that's what you and I have been talking about all year with being efficient. You don't have to throw for 400 yards. You got a great run game, even though they didn't have a great run game this week. But just trust your guys. Be efficient. And when I say be efficiently, I'm not just talking about Jalen in the pass game, but knowing when to use his legs, how to use his legs to get out of trouble, and also the planned quarterback run. And that's why I think people always might want more from Jalen in the conventional pass game.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the composite picture of Jalen, which is his legs, his ability to change a game, scrambling or planned quarterback runs, or his accuracy when he gets the ball out, I think he's a really good quarterback, and I think the Eagles are fortunate to have him.
Okay, and then can you explain how impactful Saquon Barkley still was in this game,
Yeah.
based on what Kansas City had to do and use to hold him back?
Yeah, I mean, bottom line is they got after the run game. People forget that Saquon caught six passes for 40 yards, so he had 97 scrimmage yards, which for most running backs is a big day. For Saquon, we're all going, oh, he only had, 57 yards rushing and whatever he had and 40 yards receiving. So he still produced 97 yards. Okay. But because Kansas City had to sell out the way they did with people in the box and getting after him and coming downhill, then there was more room underneath for the receivers to work. And again, Jalen is what, 17 for 22, only five incompletions. He took two sacks, 22 pass attempts for 221 yards. That means 10 yards per attempt, honey. And I think Kansas City was like four or five per attempt. Anything like over seven is a big number, seven and a half, eight. Eagles had 10 yards per attempt. So that answers your question. The linebackers are coming downhill. People are trying to make plays, and they were very efficient in the pass game.
Okay, so if you were Kansas City at going into halftime, obviously things were not going your way. How would you have game planned differently for the second half? Because it didn't seem like anything changed for them. What would you have done differently or
Well,
tried to have done differently?
what's interesting is that 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, Philly was up 10 at half, right? Kansas City came out in the second half and went touchdown, touchdown, touchdown.
That's why I was still nervous. I didn't let myself get excited
Right.
yet. Yeah.
Now, 10 and 24 are two different conversations because the way my mind works and the way most coaches' minds work, if you're down 24 at halftime, that's a three possession game. If you score three consecutive touchdowns and 2-point conversions, right? So it's a minimum of three, right? All of a sudden, Philly kicks a field goal, it's 27 nothing, right? So now it's four possessions, you're in the third quarter, and you might get in a normal game, if you're lucky, they might have five or six maximum possessions left. And you got to score on four of them, and they got to be touchdowns, at least three of them. So the pressure is on at that point. It's not like you're down 10, right? You're down 27 nothing. So the biggest problem I felt like Kansas City had in coming out at halftime was just the fact that you can't allow the Eagles to score any points. Everybody thinks comebacks start on offense. They actually start on defense. You got to get three and outs. You got to get possessions for your offense. So getting down 27 nothing after each team had a possession, and that was bad. To me, the game was over at that point. I didn't think there were enough possessions left for Kansas City to win.
Even with Mahomes' magic?
I know. And isn't it crazy? Because a couple of years ago, down 10, I'm like, hey, this is a ball game. And if Kansas City had come out and scored and it's 24-7 or 24-8 or, then I think it's a ball game again. But you got to stop Philly. And Philly, I think to Nick Sirianni's credit, who's a very aggressive guy, they kept running the ball. I mean, even though Saquon averaged under 3 yards a carry, they ran the ball 45 times, honey. Saquon had 25 carries for 57 yards, which is only 2.3 yards a carry. Jalen had 11 for 72. So my point is, they committed to the run game, which runs the clock. They didn't turn the football over. So when you're ahead like that and you don't turn the ball over and you gain a chunk yardage to get first downs, keep running the ball, it's hard to come back. And when you can't protect your quarterback, oh my gosh, it gets. And even in the first half, Kansas City was, the Eagles, keep in mind, the Eagles are bringing four. Kansas City's got five O linemen. They're chipping with Travis Kelce. They're chipping with a running back. So sometimes it's six against four, and Philadelphia's still compressing the pocket. So I just thought it was a different game because 2 years ago, it wasn't like that with Patrick Mahomes. maybe because of that slick field. I don't know if you remember how slick that field was 2 years ago.
Everyone was slipping. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know if I really answered your question in a good way.
No, you did. But it just kind of made, I mean, it made sense. It wasn't just like Patrick Mahomes' magic can only happen if the defense he's playing is allowing it to. Eagles defense did not allow that to happen. And Eagles offense didn't turn the ball over themselves. I think it was JJ Watt that was tweeting, and he said he wished that he thought that the whole Eagles defense should get MVP. And I thought that was so cool. And I wish they did that.
It's a really interesting point, Lee. And while you two were talking, I thought of two things. One is that you made a really good point about Patrick Mahomes and his ability to scramble and make plays. What I was blown away about was not just the pressure, but he couldn't get out of the pocket to make plays. He usually kills people with the extending at the throw or extending and running. And Milt Williams and Jalen Carter, the two defensive tackles, are so quick and so violent. Like, he couldn't escape. That's point number one. And then to your second point, and J.J. Watt, like, Cooper DeJean on that interception for pick six.
On his birthday?
On his birthday. Like, it was a sprint out where they're trying to get Patrick Mahomes extra time, so they sprint out. And Eagles were in a zone. Nothing complicated. And Cooper DeJean's what they call a hang defender, where he's kind of hanging underneath a deep out cut so he can't throw the deep out.
Yeah.
Coming from the backside is a deep cross, which most guys playing that position would never even see. So Patrick's rolling out to his right, expanding. Cooper's expanding under it. And as soon as Patrick looked back to the inside, Cooper dropped his hips and drove the opposite direction, which is kind of rare because he read the quarterback. And he was aware of the crossing route behind him and picked it clean. Like, it was really –
It was beautiful.
I used to play that position, so I know how cool – I watched it about five times. Everything he did on that was textbook, but to have the instincts to break back across from his responsibility and make that play was awesome. Mm-hmm. Second play of the game, I think it was, they tried to isolate him against – maybe it was Worthy on a quick – on a bubble screen, and he in the open field, like they tried to use speed again. Yeah. And DeJean tackled him for a 1 yard gain. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't look like a rookie, and he hasn't all year. Same Quinion Mitchell got beat once or twice, but they couldn't take advantage of it because they didn't have the time.
Right.
They couldn't throw it deep. One time, this is amazing. One time in the first quarter, the Chiefs did a really cool thing, and they took Xavier Worthy, who's number one, their wideout.
Yeah, their fastest guy.
He's the fastest player in the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. They put him at running back on third down, and he moved the running back out wide. So now Slay is covering a running back, and one-on-one, the fastest man in the NFL with your guy, Zach Bond.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one-on-one, third and three or whatever it is. And he goes out wide and he takes off. And there's no way Zach Bond could cover him. He got him beat by 3 yards, right? But Patrick felt pressure, and it wasn't even heavy pressure, but his eyes came, like he was looking right. He wanted Worthy. He was looking right at him, but he felt pressure from Josh Sweat, and his eyes came down, and he tried to escape. So to me, it just keeps going. They all played great. Bond played great. That interception he had was outstanding. The defensive backs tackled like really well. Like number eight, Gardner Johnson he chirps a lot, but he's a really good football player. Vic Fangio's guys balled out, man.
Yeah, they really did. Okay, but this is crazy timing. So it's what, like almost noon on Tuesday here, because I asked my dad to do this on Tuesday and not Monday because I was still recovering, if you guys can hear. But it seems like breaking news, well, not that breaking, but the Saints are finalizing the deal with Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore to become the new head coach.
Yeah.
So that's the newest scoop. What do you think about that?
My immediate reaction is Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't even know what the right number is, but going back to college, he's had more offensive coordinators and play callers than anybody I've ever seen in my life.
I know. I want to say he's at like 9 at this point. It might be more.
It's every year or two. He's got a new offensive coordinator. I want to say in the last 10 years of his life, or, you know, back to college, the only time he's ever had the same coordinator 2 years in a row, I think, was Shane Steichen. And it was only for 2 years, and it was only one time. So I don't know who the new coordinator is going to be. I don't know if they have somebody from within they love, or if they're going to bring somebody else in. What I hope and what I guess is that Nick's going to want somebody to come in, run a system somewhat similar to Kellen that understands how important the run game is, RPO, play it, you know, take advantage of what Jalen does well. And I also hope they don't change the terminology again. I hope they force the new coordinator, if he comes from outside the building, to learn their system.
And how normal is that? That they'll take a new hire OC and force them to learn the old system?
Not often. Usually a coordinator brings his own system with him.
Right. But in a special case like this,
I think usually a new coordinator will come in and some, if he's joining a good team like the Eagles, they might marry two philosophies together.
Okay.
Bring in what he has with what they did and kind of spend the whole offseason trying to marry it together into something that works for everybody. Mm-hmm. What I would hate to see is for the whole Eagles offense to have to learn a new language again. You know, it literally is like going from English to French or Spanish or whatever, because it's a whole new language. And I'd much rather one guy have to learn it than, you know, 30 guys.
Right. And is this a case where do you think Kellen will take any of his guys with him, or is this kind of like a one?
I don't know what, and you see, there are legal ways that the Eagles can block.
Taking
people.
Okay.
So if he wants to take somebody and that was an assistant coach and make him a coordinator, then he's got an opportunity. But if he wants to take a linebacker coach and make him a linebacker coach, the Eagles can say no.
Okay.
Unless the guy's contract is up and he wants to go.
Okay.
So I would imagine that the bedrock coaches of the Eagles will be back.
Okay. I hope so. I feel like it finally got it going.
Well, I mean,
the system, and now someone's leaving again, but that's how it always goes, I guess. And that is exciting for Kellen Moore, but I mean, I really did. I wish he would have listened to, did you hear him, Sirianni tell him to say, let's run it back?
I didn't hear it, but I read it. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish he would have.
I mean, selfishly. To me, the guy they can't lose is Jeff Stoutland, the offensive line coach.
And yeah.
I don't think he's ever going anywhere. And he's been recognized justifiably as one of the best O-line coaches to ever do it. And that what he does with that O-line is special. And it's kind of like we've talked a lot about Vic this year. And I think Stoutland is the dean of the O-line coaches. And he's the key to the continuity there.
Well, and that's also because, right, the run game goes through that, right? So that's why that's so important.
Oh, yeah, and it's the run game, how they run. And what's cool about the run game, Hunt, is some teams are like zone teams. Mm-hmm. Some teams are what they call gap or man teams, where you're pulling players and blocking down. And other teams like crack wide outs and try to do quick talk. The Eagles do all of it, and they do it really well. And they've meshed it together into their system. And I think Stout is really special at what he does. I think his players would stand on a table. Like if they got in a barroom fight in any city in the country and Stout said, hey, let's go, they'd go.
They're there.
They're going.
Yeah. Well, congrats to Kellen, but we would have liked you to stay. Yeah. But – anyway, on a happier note, we have a freaking Super Bowl parade in Philadelphia down Broad Street on Friday. Are you going to come home?
No.
You didn't go to the last one either, did you?
I'm not a parade guy.
You're not a parade. And it's going to be so cold.
Honey, you know me. I'm not a parade guy.
Parades might be your worst nightmare, actually.
You could hand me two free tickets to the Super Bowl and I wouldn't go.
You know,
I'm at much rather sit here and drink a beer and enjoy myself and parade. Are you kidding me? 20 degrees out drinking a cold beer? Nah, I'm good.
Okay, well, I'll give you updates from there because I'm going.
I figured that, dear.
Yeah.
I figured that, yes.
We'll see how long I can last, though, because honestly, this cold weather is killing me.
Yeah, dress warmly, you know what I mean?
Smart. Okay, well,
that's Did you tell everybody about your awful announcing article?
No, Dad.
You should.
What, Dad? Yes, there was a very nice article about our Believe in Eagles podcast and myself and my dad on awful announcing. Andrew wrote really nice things, very kind things, and it was just, yeah, it was really nice.
I don't know, what do you want me to say? I think, well, I mean, this is a vehicle for you to say that a neutral observer saw what you have been doing and put a good article out there about it. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really
nice. Nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
And I'm a proud dad and I'm allowed to say that. I think you've done a great job.
Okay, thanks. Well, it's been fun and we haven't really argued that much this year doing this. So that's been nice. Only a couple times. But that's a given.
Is there anything you want to argue about before we leave?
No, I'll probably save that for later.
Oh, yes, you will. I'm sure
you will. Okay, well, thanks for being here. I can't believe it. We had no idea at the beginning of Believe in Eagles that we would be in the Super Bowl and then win the Super Bowl.
Especially after the 2-2 start. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, well, I will talk to you later. I'll let you know how the parade is, and go Birds.
Are we doing any more of these? Are we done?
Yeah, we have to. I'll see all the rest of the offseason.
What?
Yeah, maybe you don't have to come on every time, because sometimes there probably won't be football to talk about, and I'll just talk about other things.
All right, lady.
Okay. But I'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
All right, love ya. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye, honey.